If there's anything we Americans love more than an election, it's a dirty election. In the movies.
I am here to tell you this. That power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon. And the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you.
Lee Tracy, of course, playing the president in The Best Man, the 1964 film about the fight for the Democratic nomination, urging Henry Fonda to employ any means necessary. Today we hold our own election. Call us and nominate your favorite election movie. No dirty tricks, please. Your long-deceased Aunt Gertie cannot vote, Chicagoans. The number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Of course, our favorite film buff, Murray Horowitz, is here to campaign for his favorite. Nice to have you back, Murray.
Good to be here, Neil, as always.
And could we honestly keep political junkie Ken Rudin out of this conversation?
Absolutely not.
Ken, nice to have you back. Murray, parameters, please.
All right, there are a few rules. First of all, we're talking not about political films generally. We're talking about films. It's election day, Ken,
yeah,
all right?
Okay.
So they have to have
today?
Today,
oh,
actually.
Wow.
You should know about that. These have to have an election in them. Sometimes it's a movie about an election. Sometimes the election's just incidental. It's simply a plot point. But it can't be just a film about politics. But we will accept nominating.
Nominating. So, for example, The Best Man.
The Best Man is a film about the nomination process. The Manchurian Candidate, it's another one.
About the nomination process. Given those parameters, who would you nominate?
Well, my favorite movie of all time is The Manchurian Candidate, which is just an amazing psychodrama with...
like Angela Lansbury.
Well, Angela Lansbury and I'm just...
Well, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, Janet Leigh, and the
We have to point out. We have to point out that this is not the Glenn Close. This is not the later version.
No.
You know, the protagonist is Anthony Perkins, isn't it?
No. Why can't I think of it?
I don't know. Well, I'll think of it. But anyway,
it's only my favorite movie. But it's about, obviously, it's about the infiltration of communists into the government, which of course was a big issue. This is a 1962 movie, a Frankenheimer movie.
Yep.
And Lawrence Harvey is the guy.
Lawrence Harvey.
I couldn't think of that.
Because he's so American.
No, but Lawrence Harvey was so spectacular.
He was great.
As the tortured person who was brainwashed into assassinating somebody at a political convention as somebody's about to be nominated for president.
Right.
All right. Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation.
One more rule. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Usual, no TV shows, although this time we have to give honorable mention.
So you can't do a West Wing.
You can't do no TV. But there is a made-for-TV movie that gets honorable mention, which is Recount with Kevin Spacey.
That was very good.
About the 2000
election. But I can tell you, honestly, I used to think The Making of the President was a sex movie. So I was wrong.
Don't go to whitehouse.com. Email us talk@npr.org. Jay joins us on the line from East Lansing in Michigan.
How you doing, Neil?
Very well, thank you.
Great topic. You could do probably 3 hours on this. Mine also has the word candidate when you gave us a tease at the top of the segment there. The candidate, Robert Redford. One of the yardsticks I use in evaluating these and is basically how relevant they remain, how current they are. And you really, with very few exceptions, could probably use the candidate as a blueprint for what's still going on in our political process and how people are elected and how they run.
The most famous moment in the movie, of course, comes right after the election.
Okay, we've got about 60 seconds of privacy before they find out we're here now. So what's on your mind, Senator?
I don't know.
Okay, I gotta get out of there. See, I told you they'd be here.
Marvin, what do we do now?
Wait a minute, what?
And Murray, of course, that's the whole point.
It is the whole point. What do we do now? We got elected. And it's interesting the way in which, I mean, it's a good point because the way in which these movies have changed, these movies are a lot about process and the way the process gets manipulated. And it's changed over the years. You know, there's this Harold Lloyd comedy called The Cat's Paw in the early 40s, which is about, it's a usual device, the stooge who gets put up as a candidate, and guess what? He gets elected and decides to be a great leader.
His own man, yes.
That's right. And then Robert Redford and the candidate to John Travolta in Primary Colors. The process has changed, and the candidate was very, very good at showing us how that happened.
The process piece in The Candidate.
Yes, but what's fascinating about that movie, of course, is that what happened in that movie is really what happens in our lives. We always talk about campaigns and campaigners, and there's some people who are wonderful at campaigning, but once you win, then you have to do something with that, all that campaigning, and that is govern, and some people are just so much better at campaigning than they are at governing.
Yep. Jay, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Email from Anna in Austin, Texas. I love the film Election with Reese Witherspoon as Tracy Flick, a high school uber achiever, and Matthew Broderick as her skeptical teacher. The satire of the film works on so many levels, so much so that in 2008, the news website Slate published an article with the title Hillary Clinton is Tracy Flick. here she is from 1999's Election.
You might think it upset me that Paul Metzler had decided to run against me, but nothing could be further from the truth. He was no competition for me. It was like apples and oranges. I had to work a little harder, that's all. You see, I believe in the voters. They understand that elections aren't just popularity contests. They know this country was built by people just like me who work very hard and don't have everything handed to them on a silver spoon.
I think it's a silver platter, but nevertheless, Murray.
Tracy Flick, one of the great archetypes of recent American film. This is a film by Alexander Payne, who did Sideways. It's, and like that film, it's a great social satire. The other thing is, an election does not necessarily have to be for president or senator. One of my favorite movies that has an election in it is Lord of the Flies, based on the William Goldie, the Peter Brook movie.
Right, where I think they're all underage, too.
That's true. But there, it's a lot about political power and discovering politics. There's another film, by the way, I really want. There are a lot of documentaries in this category. And one of my absolute favorites is called Please Vote for Me. Very recent film out of China. And it's about a third grade election for class monitor. And it's amazing to see these 8-year-olds discover politics. It's just, it's an incredible movie.
Let's see if we go next to Linda. Linda with us from Princeton.
Hi there. Yeah, it does feel like we've still got 8-year-olds running the country.
Well, I think the stakes are a little higher in The Lord of the Flies. But anyway.
9-year-olds.
Yeah.
Listen, I one of my favorite films of all time is 7 Days in May for the following reason. Kirk Douglas, a colonel, gets wind of Burt Lancaster and the Joint Chiefs of Staff going to overthrow the government.
The novel co-written by a former editor here, Chuck Bailey.
Yep.
Yeah, and my interest in that was, I believe symbolically, Kirk Douglas represented the press in its investigative role, even though he was a military man.
Well, I could see this as a Washington movie. Was there an election here?
There was a big dispute between the president and the Joint Chiefs of Staff over the missile treaty that the president had signed in the film. But the election merely elects figureheads who then go to work behind the scenes, by and large. So I'm more interested in what goes on behind the scenes than what happens on election day, which to me is about 1% of what's actually going on. But I thought it was an interesting thing in the way power actually is wielded, not so much by the public, but by people who are ostensibly elected, but then don't follow the mandate of the public.
And I was just going to say, 7 Days in May is an absolutely great movie. No, it is not about election, but it is about the subversion of a democracy, because obviously the whole goal of the military there was a military coup to take out the elected president.
Right.
Interestingly, it was also a couple of months, it was in the movies, a couple of months before the Goldwater-Johnson election in 1964, and a lot of people saw that as an attack on Goldwater,
right,
because he was backed by many military
also,
folks.
Also, I don't know if there's an election or not, but I'd vote for it because it's got the greatest opening credits of any movie ever.
Great movie.
Animated credits.
All right. Linda, thanks very much for the nomination. Here's an email from Brandon in Wichita. Primary Colors with John Travolta is one of the best election movies, though the movie you see a candidate adapting to the situations and scandals arising around him, and in the end, instead of taking the moral high ground, he caves into his own inner desire for power and control. It's a great look at how power, not the people, can control our political leaders. And of course,
Not just any candidate
is a very, very thinly disguised William Jefferson Clinton.
This is a price you pay to lead. You don't think that Abraham Lincoln was a whore before he was a president? He had to tell his little stories and smile his backcountry grin And he did it just so that he would one day have the opportunity to stand in front of the nation and appeal to the better angels of our nature.
Appeal to the better natures, better angels of our nature. John Travolta there in one of his better roles.
Really, he does a great job. It's a great cast. And it's, again, it shows how the process changed over time, even from the time of The Candidate.
Let's see if we get Mark on the line. Mark calling from Littleton in Massachusetts.
Hey, how are you today?
Very good, thanks.
I'd like to nominate one movie that it shows the process, but the subversion and the perversion of it, and that's The Godfather 2.
Well, is there an election? Yeah, that's right.
Well, they were buying senators. That's
right,
for sure.
They were certainly buying senators,
but it's an election of a sort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly, and using the senators, you know, and using sort of the murder and threats and coercion to get what he wants from the government. Also, it's not necessarily a governmental political movie, but it is a political movie. Michael trying to, like, you know, politically control his enemies.
Well, Mark brings up a really good point, because Godfather, obviously, if you take the two movies together, a lot of people think of it as one of the greatest, a handful of greatest movies of all time. And we're leaving out what the consensus all-American for greatest movie of all time, which is Citizen Kane.
Oh, Citizen Kane, absolutely. This is, of course, it's thought to be a journalism movie, and it wins on that account, most of the contests for journalism movies. But we forget that Charles Foster Kane does run for governor, and it turns out he doesn't do so well, as Joseph Cotton explains to him.
That's the way they want it. The people have made that choice. It's obvious the people prefer Jim Geddes to me.
You talk about the people as though you own them, so they belong to you. As long as I can remember, you've talked about giving the people their rights, as if you could make them a present of liberty, as a reward for services rendered.
Jed.
Remember the working man?
There's a little bit of a poignant contemporary angle to this, too, Neil, because there was a... Wells actually wrote a screenplay that was turned into a movie after his death, and it was in 1999. It was called The Big Brass Ring, and it's about a homosexual scandal that threatens the candidate. And it was directed by a really good, underrated director named George Hickenlooper, who passed away this past Saturday.
And whose cousin is running for governor of Colorado today.
They are related?
Yes, they're cousins.
I knew you would know this.
John Hickenlooper, for mayor of Denver.
We're talking with our favorite film buff, Murray Horowitz, and our political junkie, Ken Rudin, about the best election movies ever. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Kurt on the line. Kurt with us from Chugwater in Wyoming.
Yeah. Oh, brother, where art thou?
Oh, brother.
Caricature of a senator, Pappy O'Donnell.
Right. I don't think he's running for office there, though, is he?
He is.
Oh.
It's a side plot, but it's a caricature of a...
That's right. There's a campaign rally. It all ends at a campaign rally, doesn't it? I think.
Yes.
Right. Where he's got the singing group, George Clooney's little singing group.
Oh, that's there, right. That's where they show up and perform.
Right.
All right.
Good for you, Kurt. Thank you for that. That's a
Excellent.
Great election movie.
Nice to have the vote in from Wyoming. Now, this is an email from Terry Napoleon Dynamite.
Yep.
And, of course, if we're going to accept election, we have to accept Napoleon Dynamite. Let's see if we can... one of the ones we wanted to talk about, it's been remade more recently with Sean Penn, but the very greatest version of The King's Men stars... of course, it's Willie Stark. And,
all The King's Men.
And stars Broderick Crawford as he goes off script.
There's no need in my telling you what this state needs. You are the state, and you know what you need. You over there. Look at your pants. Have they got holes in the knees? Listen to your stomach. Did you ever hear it rumble for hunger? And you, what about your crops? Did they ever rot in the field because the road was so bad you couldn't get them to market? And you, what about your kids? Are they growing up ignorant as dirt, ignorant as you because there's no school for them? No, I'm not going to read you any speech.
That's great stuff.
It is. And also, I want to make a point. When we're talking about great lines, Terry mentioned Napoleon Dynamite and vote for me and I will make all your dreams come true. Your wildest dreams come true, right? Isn't that
That's
it? It's just great.
Well, it's time to get to, I'm going to play a clip from actually my favorite election movie, 1958, John Ford's Last Hurrah.
That's a great one.
Where Spencer Tracy stars as Frank Skeffington.
I want you to meet our next mayor, Mr. Kevin McCluskey.
Very pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
How do you do? Can you hold it a second, Uncle Frank? Yeah, I've just met your rival candidate, Kevin McCluskey. No, no, he's right here in the office. What's that? Yeah. My uncle, the mayor, wants to wish you luck.
That's very nice of him.
He says with Amos Force behind you, you'll need it.
My favorite scene is at the Torchlight Parade.
Yeah, no, it's a great... Well, it's John Ford, you know. I mean, I don't think he ever made a bad movie, and this is one of his best, I think. It's just a great movie.
And who gets the Murray?
Well, you know I'm going to choose a comedy, and I've already mentioned Election, and of course, you know, Ken's favorite, Advise a Consent, is a laugh a minute, but...
but it's not about an election.
It's a great movie. Oh,
there's great movie. The Great McGinty, which is a great Preston Sturges movie,
yes.
But I'm going to go to my cynical side and say Wag the Dog, a Barry Levinson film that is just terrific. It's, as I say, it's cynical. It's from 1997, and it was it's just a classic.
Well,
filmed in no time for no money.
And involves the dirtiest of election tricks, producing a war.
Stan.
Yes?
If you never won an Oscar, how would you like an ambassadorship?
An ambassadorship?
Yeah.
That's my payoff.
Well, you tell me what you want.
Hell, I just do it for the fun of it. For a story to tell.
Oh, no, you couldn't tell anybody.
Oh, hey, listen, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, you couldn't tell anybody.
No, I know. It's just a figure of speech. No, it's a pageant.
It's a pageant, that's what it is.
It was Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman, you know, Woody Harrelson, Andrea Martin, Dennis Leary, Ann Hetchy, Willie Nelson. It's written by David Mamet as well as Hillary Hankin. It's a great movie.
There's a great, speaking of creating a war in a movie, there's a great line in Duck Soup where Groucho is in there trying to talk Groucho out of having this war against Fredonia versus.
Right.
And he says, well, we have to have the war because we already spent a month down payment on the battlefield. It was already in the cards.
I thought about Duck Soup. Unhappily, there's no election.
No.
Murray Horwitz, NPR's favorite film puff, as well as NPR's favorite, well, our only political junkie, Ken Rudin. Thank you very much. We're going to be talking a lot with Ken in the next day and a half. Tomorrow in this hour, we'll look beyond the election to what it means in the weeks and months ahead in Congress and also to the White House. On to 2012. Join us for a special marathon edition of The Political Junkie. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.